Hello, everyone. Good morning. So, as Mackenzie was saying, today is our amazing Youth Sunday. We just got back from camp, and we are... Shaden yawned. He's still recovering. We are so pumped up and excited about what the Lord did, his faithfulness to us. When you come back from camp, gathering all together, you are just so excited about the gospel. And so that's what our kids have experienced. For those of you who don't know, our Summer High Life Camp is a combination of six churches gathering together, six youth groups, and we purely just get away and encounter God. Like, that is what our heart is. And it's just been amazing just to see just how thankful we are about really our pastors coming together, pouring in and visioning to equip, to share the love of God, to share the power of the sacrifice and blood of Jesus and how alive we can live today, and that there's no age limit, there's nothing, but all the goodness of God is centered for us. That's how awesome it is. And so one of the things that we have our little camp shirts on. We have our anthem, and if we want to put it up real quick, it kind of just shares really our heart for High Life Camp. And what we do is we read this every service, and we just declare as one voice who God is to us and what we're meant to live. And so I just want for this to be just a congregation joining together. Would you join with me and read what we have really just learned this weekend? And so I'll start. It says, God is my father and I am his child. Because of his son, Jesus, I am invited into a partnership with him. Because of Jesus, I am free from sin and made righteous. He has given me his Holy Spirit, empowering me to do his will. I love scripture and set my mind on his thoughts. I love his voice. I love to pray and will never stop. Pursuing God is my highest calling. I live to see his face, hear his voice, feel his presence, taste his word, and think his ways. And that is our heart, is so everyone would know that it's Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And so one of the just amazing things that I love that the Lord led us as leaders to do was to be examples of this amazing life. And during the services, one of the things we just exemplified what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. So, for example, as leaders on stage, we repented before the Lord. We said, Lord, forgive us for our insecurity. Forgive us for our comparison. Forgive us for our pride. And this led the way so our teens could see what it is to live a life before the Lord, saying, Lord, like, we lay down our lives before you. We are imperfect, but we all need and want your influence in our lives. And the other service, we just began to show what it is to be encouraging to each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So we, through the gift of prophecy, began just prophesying over each other. And really, this was showing and empowering, just being able to communicate with the Spirit of God. And after that was released, our teens were able to encourage and prophesy over one another and be able to be used as an encouragement to their brothers and sisters. And then as a mom, this really touched me, obviously, because I'm a mom. But at the very last day, we had two kids there. One, his name was Zayden, and he's three. And then I brought my three-month-old, Reese. And so literally we had them on the stage, and we told him, like, this is the generation following you. What kind of leader do you want to be to influence the next generation? And kids started prophesying over our kids just because it was just the excitement and momentum of being a part of a kingdom that is so alive and so now. And so it was awesome. I mean, obviously, when we go to camp, we purely go to encounter the love of Jesus and to really be reawakened with the gospel, but also it's summer camp. Like, we are teens. I'm not a teen anymore, but I once was, and I have a heart of a teen. That's why I'm in youth ministry. And we have amazing competitions. We call them tribal wars. And so we have 10 different colors. So literally we have 200 kids all in this area, and we're all just representing, but also super excited. And so we have a lot of our church, we were the green team, black team, great, you guys can cheer, and great, yes, green team got second place. They were 16 points away from first, but it's okay, we're coming back next year. Anyways, so what we are going to show you is just a little slideshow of what camp looks like for us. You'll see we have some lip syncs. That's part of our competition, is creating an awesome lip sync. So if you hear this boom, this noise, it's just our lip sync competition. And so I hope you guys enjoy getting a little glimpse of what it's like at camp for us. Awesome.
All right. Summer camp. Oh, so much fun. There you go. 5 days and 3.5 minutes right there. Just a little snapshot. How is everybody today? I'm so excited that our young people really get to share today, because one thing that I really get impacted with for camp personally as a youth pastor, but just as a person who loves Jesus, is when young people discover who Jesus is for them. I think that's so powerful. And I don't know what it was about camp this year. I think there is. The Bible says that there's a commanding blessing when we come together in unity. And I think what my wife said, we don't take that for granted. To have 6 different churches come together to do camp together. And it's not just 6 churches taking on different responsibilities. Like, you take games, you do cabins, you do preaching, so we don't have to all think about it. We literally meet together twice a month throughout the entire year as pastors, and vision and plan and pray together for camp. And so when that's going on and there's no other agenda other than we want kids to meet Jesus, to be used by the Holy Spirit, to get excited. And when there's no other agenda, there's no other egos going on, there's no other, hey, this is what camp should look like and this is what it shouldn't look like. There's no fighting about that stuff. And that in and of itself, I know a lot of you haven't been in church leadership, but that's a miracle right there. When a group of 6 guys can get together and just lay their egos down and what they want to do down and their agenda and just let it be the agenda of King Jesus. And so because of that, I believe that we are experiencing just these major breakthroughs in camp, and there's just an ease of getting into the presence of God, and it's just been so fun to watch that. And so before they share, I want you to get excited about testimonies, not just because you're listening to a group of kids who are excited about Jesus and it encourages us as a church because we're like, hey, there's young people that are excited about Jesus here. That means we must be doing something right, which is true. But what I love about testimonies is testimonies exist not only for their freedom, but for our freedom as well. Because the thing about testimonies is what God did for them, He wants to do for you. I mean, one of the great definitions of testimony that I love is do it again, God, right? So it's not just, oh man, it's great for them that they had a great week and experienced Jesus. I want us to lean in with this posture of faith that says, if God did that for them, He can do it for me. So I want to encourage you, as we're listening to these testimonies, if there is something that you are wanting freedom in, or you've experienced freedom and you can cheer them on, if there are things that you're hearing that you're like, man, I want that understanding of the Lord, grab it in faith and say, God, I'm hearing this, and it's causing faith to rise in me. And when faith rises in our hearts, that's when the Holy Spirit can come in and start to do the exact same thing. And one of the scriptures that I just wanted to share briefly before we get into the testimonies is this scripture found in Matthew 16. It's one of my favorite conversations that Jesus had with His disciples. And it's, who do you say that I am? And it's the thing that I think marked our group this year, marked this entire group of 200 students. It's that they got to discover for themselves who Jesus is to them. And so I just want to read through this. It says, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples this question, what are the people saying about Me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe that I am? Isn't that... we all have conversations, and we always want to know what everybody else is thinking about us and about everything else. So Jesus asked the question, who are people saying that I am? What's the talk of the town? And this is what the disciples said. They answered, some are convinced that you're John the Baptizer. Others say you're Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks this very great question, but you... who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but My Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, that it's not a relationship that we have with Jesus based on another person's experience or what our parents or our grandparents or our church people have said about who Jesus is. It's, this is who you are to me. And I love Jesus' response to Peter, his encouragement to Peter. Just so you know, Peter, that revelation of who I am didn't come from your opinion or other people's opinions about me or any kind of worldly wisdom. It came straight from the Father. And what I loved about this week at camp was that there were downloads going on that were coming straight from the Father heart of God through the Holy Spirit to us. And I think you're going to hear some of that in the testimonies today. And so as we listen to these, I just encourage you again to lean in faith. And if there's areas of your life that you've heard a lot about who Jesus is, you've heard that he heals, you've heard that he's got a father's heart, you've heard that he wants to include us in family, and it all sounds good to you, but you feel like there's just that next step that you need to take, I encourage you this morning to let these words that are coming from these young people allow you to step out in faith and take that next step. Who is Jesus to you? Don't be afraid to ask that question of your own heart. Is Jesus my Savior? I watch him being everybody else's, but is he mine this morning? Is he my freedom? Is Jesus really my identity? Is he my comforter? Is he my strength? Is he my healing? And I want to encourage you that God loves you where you're at, but he doesn't want you just to stay there. It's great that we know a lot of stories about Jesus the healer and Jesus the comforter, but he doesn't want you just to know him as a story. He wants to know you as the person of Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Amen? Amen. And I just want to say this also. I was reminded of this scripture in Revelation 19, the power of the testimony. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So you're hearing testimonies of Jesus this morning, not just to make you feel good, but as that's happening, there's a spirit of prophecy that comes out. And really what prophecy is, prophetic words are thoughts and intentions God has about you and your life from his eternal kingdom perspective. So you can receive these words in faith and believe that he will bring freedom to areas needing freedom and understanding to areas that you need to go deeper in, because it's the Holy Spirit of God prophetically speaking over you that this is who he's called you to be as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, gang, come on up here. Can we just welcome them up here this morning? Cool. Here, come this way, like stand in the middle. They're all just going to be up here, like cheering one another on, being each other's cheerleaders, but I know you all will be too. As I told them before the service, just make sure you don't lock your knees together, and it's all going to be good. So I think we're going to start with Kira, right? Can you give Kira a hand as she shares this morning?
All right, so camp was good, if you were wondering. So it was really good because it was one of the things that, like, they, like, our motto type thing was just to get away and encounter God. And it wasn't just to get away, like, to get away from your house or your family or whatever. It was just to, like, really just get away from everything and just it be you and, you know, the Father. And so one night we were doing, like, prophesying over each other because we were going through the spiritual gifts, and so they told us to find a partner, and so we all did, and we were getting ready to, and they were just like, just be silent, be still for a second, and let the Lord speak to you. And so this girl that I prophesied over, you could tell she was kind of freaked out in a good way, because I didn't know her at all. Like, we had to introduce ourselves right then and there. And so I ended up, you know, prophesying some stuff over her and about her brother, which, you know, you don't know that she has a younger brother, right? So I prophesied over her and that, you know, he's going to go to her with stuff and she's just going to be the one, you know, he takes advice from, and to be prepared for that and to ask the Lord for wisdom. And so I volunteered to go first when we were prophesying, because you could tell it was her first time and she was kind of uneasy. So when her time rolled around, I kind of had to reassure her for a second there because she was like, I don't know what to say. Like, what if it's wrong? And I told her, it's okay if it's not right now. I was like, it's okay if it's for me to tell someone else or if it's for me later. I could tell it was for me right then and there because if you have talked to me about school, you know, I want to go over to France for an art school. And she told me, she's like, I see a boat. She's like, do you want to travel? And I, like, yeah, I want to travel. Like, that's always been something I've wanted to do as well, not just, you know, go to school in France, but I've also wanted to see just, like, different cultures. That's always been something that's kind of just been on my heart. And she told me, she was like, the Lord says to do it. He wants you to go. Because I had been kind of, I wouldn't say unsure, but I've just, you know, I'm 16, I got 2 years, and that seems like a long time, but it's really not, you know? So I just, like, it just, like, hit me, you know? Like, he's telling me it's okay to go, you know? And that just, he kind of just gave me the answer I was looking for, because I had been kind of praying about it and thinking about it for a while. I just didn't think I was going to get it right then and there, you know? So it was just good to have that reassurance. And then just, like, it was amazing, though, because everybody was on fire. Like, everybody was getting connected. And it was just great. So, yeah.
Okay. Your next child. Okay, so it was the same night that Kira was talking about, and this young adult leader came up to me and said that I was going to open my own restaurant. And that's, you know, something I've been wanting to do. And she said that it wasn't just going to be... She said it wasn't just going to be my restaurant. She said that God was going to be living upstairs. And... that really got to me because... You know, she said that my restaurant was going to be mainly for him, but for everybody else. I think that's it. Okay. You're done.
All right. So I'm going to talk about, I really struggled with the orphan spirit. It got in my head and convinced me that I made people uncomfortable when I hugged them or talked for too long. And that person left because I wasn't good enough, and these friends probably don't like me. But God came in, and he says, no, that's not true. That's not who I made you to be. You don't make people uncomfortable. You're wonderful. You're kind. He says so much about me. And he loves me so much, and sometimes I forget it because I'm so caught up in does this person like me? Do they still want to hang out with me? And my identity isn't found in who does or doesn't like me. It's found in God. It's found in what he says about me. And yeah, that's it.
When I went to camp, I kind of just went, like, expecting something to happen. I wasn't, like, it was kind of more, like, just going through the motions. Like, I've been to camp before. This is what we do, so that's what I'm going to do. It was the second or third night. I forget which one, but I kept hearing this voice, like, this verse in my head, and it was James 4:2. And it kept nagging at me. So when I got back to the cabin, I looked at it in my Bible, and it says, you do not receive because you do not ask God. So the next night, we were, like, giving the gifts, like, the spiritual gifts and stuff. And so they were praying for healing. And so I had hurt my knee before we went to camp. And so I prayed, like, God, please heal my knee. So when we all prayed for it, like, Pastor Jonah said to test, like, whatever hurt, and I did, and it didn't hurt anymore. Yeah. So that's it. Oh.
Hi, my name's LaShea, for those of you who don't know me. So camp was great, it was really life-changing. I met so many beautiful people and got to talk with so many leaders. So the first night at camp, it was really life-changing actually. We were talking about repentance and how we repent so many times, but we go back and do the same sin over. And that had been the case with me for a long time. I would do something wrong or make mistakes, and I would, you know, ask God for forgiveness, but not full-heartedly. So when Pastor Jonah was talking, he was like, it doesn't matter how many times you ask for forgiveness, but asking from the heart, like you want to turn away from your sin and the meaning of repentance. So that night, I had just really gotten an encounter, and, you know, was just crying because it's like I asked for repentance so many times, and it's like my heart wasn't there. It's like, oh, I know Jesus will forgive me, so, you know, it doesn't really matter if my heart, my full heart isn't in it. But that night, we had came to the front of where we were worshiping, and he's like, it doesn't matter how many times you've done it, come to the front, you know, and ask God for forgiveness. And I had, and my heart was just so much lighter. It was just, it felt good to, like, say, Jesus, I'm sorry with my whole heart for what I have done, and I want to, you know, be better and be like you. So.
Okay, hi. My name is Unique, for those of you who don't know me. Before I went to summer camp, actually, I'm going to be honest, I didn't really want to go to summer camp. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. So before summer camp, Pastor Ryan asked for us to fast. And I fasted from like TV and music and things like that. And I was trying to like get my heart spiritually ready for camp. But I did fast, but I just felt like when I showed up, I was just like not spiritually ready. I just wasn't. And I just wanted to go home. I was just like, I feel really uncomfortable and stuff. And yeah. So the first night we were asking for forgiveness, and I feel like I had to ask for forgiveness for showing up at summer camp and not really having the heart to be there. And Jesus told me, he said, obviously he told me he forgives me, but he told me that he's going to put me in uncomfortable situations. And he says that being a Christian, you're going to feel uncomfortable. And he told me that I'm not always going to feel comfortable, but I can feel comfortable in him knowing that he will protect me from things that I'm comfortable with. So that was the first night. And then the other nights, we were there was like the night where we were receiving the spiritual gifts. And then I can't remember what the other nights. Oh, wait, we were talking about intimacy and things like that. And I just feel like the whole week, I felt like I was just dealing with a lot of self-hate. I do deal with the orphan spirit constantly, and it's something I have to remind myself that I'm not alone, and Jesus loves me. So whether I have people around me or not, Jesus cares about me. So, but the whole week, I had strangers and people that I know pray for me, and they all said the same thing, really. They were just telling me that I was loved, and Jesus wants me to come to the kingdom as I am and not to try to change myself so that Jesus will love me or others will love me, or to try to change myself so people will accept me and want to be my friend. And it was just like, actually, Joelle prayed for me one night, and she told me that Jesus said to come as I am, and that I'm beautiful and worth it, and that I can look in the mirror and say that I'm beautiful. And that really just resonated with me. That was one of the main prayers that I remember. But then also Miss Alicia prayed for me, and she said the same thing. And so many people prayed for me, and they were just telling me that I was beautiful and that I was going to be the joy for so many people that didn't have joy in their lives. And it was just really eye-opening, because I've just dealt with a lot of just self-hate, and I deal with like just listening to negative thoughts, and I never really, my mom would always tell me to like take a hold of those thoughts and capture them, you know, give them to Jesus, but I didn't really listen. But I kept remembering that week, and I at some point, I just became really confident in who Jesus made me to be. And for the rest of the week, I didn't even care what people thought. I didn't care that the cool people didn't want to hang out with me. Or I said whatever I wanted to say. And I was just like, I was just really confident. And I realized that I am worth it. And yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Doug Scott. My wife Shannon and I are part of Ryan and Alicia's youth staff. And this is my sixth year at camp. My main focus the last 6 years has been to get Cheyenne to camp, take care of her needs. And being on staff, being able to pray for the kids and be there for them if they need anything. And over the last 6 years, God always does something to me too. And I'm starting to finally, for the first time in my life, get a glimpse of what that father heart looks like for me. I didn't have a good relationship with my father when I was growing up. For a long time, I felt like I've sucked as a dad because I didn't know how to be one. See my kids up here? And to see all of these kids engage, man, that was awesome. But there were a few things that this year, again, my focus was Cheyenne. I got to make sure that she's good. But I also want to engage in what's going on with the services and the kids. Like Ryan said, the kids can see that we're engaging, and that'll help them to engage as well. So plugging into worship, there was a comment that was made one of the services that really just, I guess, just smacked me upside the head. The comment was kind of like along the lines of, since when did my sin become more powerful than the blood of Jesus? I've had a lot, let me tell you. And for a long time, I put myself underneath the weight of my own sin, thinking that I'm not good enough. I'm only doing this for my family so that they'll get what I can't have. And I started thinking about that, and it's like, when did my pain become more powerful than the stripes? For those of you that know me, my family, I've been in a lot of pain for a lot of years, trying to physically maneuver Cheyenne puts a lot of stress on my body, and my back has literally been trashed for years. There's been days I haven't been able to get her here to church, and she sits at home in isolation, and what can I do about it? So, of course, we're engaging in services. We're going through the spiritual gifts, and they started praying for healing. And I'm up front. I want to engage, and I'm like, okay, God, I want this. It's for me, too. So they're praying for healing, and I'm like, and Jonah's like, okay, let's test it out. I'm like, all right, here goes. Bend over. I get to about right here and realize my back doesn't hurt. God totally touched my back. And I know that there's repentance is 180 degree change. We're changing things, but I think I also need to change just how I'm doing things now in order to keep this healing alive. The enemy has attacked me big time this week. You have no idea how much. Every time I feel that barb going into my back, it's like, no, I'm not taking this. The blood, the stripes paid for this. It's not mine to carry anymore. It's not just for the kids. It's for me too. It's for all of you. And if it's on your heart, we'd love to see you come and help us out.
Yes. Awesome. Doug, you are an awesome man and an awesome father. Don't let the devil convince you otherwise. Amen. Can I have the worship team come up? You guys can just kind of start playing whatever song you want to play, but I just really felt during those testimonies, and especially what Doug shared at the end, I know that you heard a couple of the girls talk about the orphan spirit, and what I mean when we talk about that is the enemy loves to put the family of God in isolation, right? And it doesn't, and I'm not talking about like if you ever had to literally deal with being an orphan, like you didn't have physical parents. It's not just there. That spirit comes on people who have decided nobody can love me. I'm not worth being a son or a daughter. I'm not worth being a part of a family. And that it kind of works alongside of like rejection and anxiety and fear of man and what people think of us. And I have to tell you, like, I just feel like the Father God just wants to break that off of us today, because I know Doug's not the only one that experiences the thoughts of failure and rejection and, well, I'm just going to do whatever I can do to better this generation or my kids, but I don't deserve it. Can I tell you that we don't get to tell Jesus we don't deserve it? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you say that, you're basically... And God still loves us because he knows that most of the time we just don't know what we're talking about. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, while we were still sinners, while we rejected him, he's the one that hung on the cross and said, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. He didn't hang on the cross and say, well, that one's worthy, that one's worthy, that one's worthy. He's really a pain in my rear end, so... He can pass it on to the next generation, but he doesn't get it. Like, we don't get to tell Jesus that. And I love that statement that God made at camp, that don't say that my blood is not less powerful than whatever you're carrying. And so I just want us to receive that today. And when we talk as a family, I just want all of you to know you're a part of this family. I know that maybe we don't know each other personally as well, but you don't have to stay rejected. You don't have to stay orphaned. Like, we had a couple of girls at camp that walked up to us as pastors and said, you know, you guys at summer camp, you throw around these terms like we love you all the time and you're a part of this family and, you know, like you're a son and a daughter. And they're like, I just hate when you say that. And we were like, okay. Because they said, because we had parents and caretakers growing up that always told us that they loved us and always told us we'd be a family forever, and they never followed through with it. They're just empty words. And so they walked up to us, and they're just in their moment of honesty. They said, honestly, you guys, you pastors throw around words like family, and we love you no matter what, and it's unconditional, and we just don't believe it. And we just sat them down and said, well, you know, I'm not asking you to believe it right this moment, but I am telling you that when the Spirit of God comes into someone's life, there's a lot of things that we want in our own strength that we wish we could be, and so we kind of say it. But then when the Spirit of God comes in and he actually changes your heart, like, know that we can love you past your failures. We can love you past your insecurities. We can love you past your behavior. And we really mean it, because it's not just us talking. It's the Spirit of God talking and the Spirit of God empowering us to be something to you. And they honestly left that week, probably still with some hangups, but they did come up to us at the end of that week and say, you know what? We get it. We get what you're talking about. And so there's one more thing I want to do And it's this verse in Acts 2:42, and it's the description of when the church started, when the Holy Spirit fell after Jesus rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit fell, and people started getting saved in droves, and it's this description, this beautiful description of what the family of God looks like, what the kingdom of God looks like. It's like God took his family structure from heaven, and he just downloaded it on the earth through the Holy Spirit, and he said, this is how you bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth right here. It's through this thing called the church. It's my bride, and I love her, and I died for her, and you guys are going to function as a family. Even if you don't know what family looks like or you've rejected family in the past, you're going to be a part of this one. And this is the description in Acts 2:42. It says, after Peter preached, almost over 3,000 people were saved in one day and became a part of the church. Can you imagine that? 3,000. And what are those 3,000 people thinking after they get saved, after they accept Jesus? They stand around and go, what are we supposed to do now? Just like everybody does. We had kids that got saved this weekend, and they're like, well, what am I supposed to do now? You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to become a part of this family called the church. That's what you're supposed to do now. And it says that they got saved, and then it says they all gathered together, broke bread together. They were in awe at the wonders and miraculous signs that God was doing. They were enjoying the favor of one another's company. And then there's this line that really stuck out to me this week at camp, and it was, everybody had everything in common. And I thought about that for a minute, and I'm going, come on. Thousands of people coming together, enjoying the favor of each other's company, and having everything in common. That seems like a pretty untrue statement. We all are so different from each other. I mean, me and my wife are extremely different from each other, and we're married. But like, it's a good week if we can find 50% of the stuff in common, our perspective, the way that we talk, the way that we process, the way that we think. I mean, just the fact that we're a man and a woman makes us not have everything in common. And Jesus told me it's because nobody in the kingdom of God and who are following Jesus are basing their life anymore on their own experiences or who they are. They're basing it on who God has called them to be and what Jesus has done for them. And there's so much freedom in that, because now we don't have to define our lives anymore. Now, here's what I'm saying, because I don't want you to accuse me of being insensitive and saying, get over it. What I am saying is your feelings are valid. The experiences that you've had to go through in life are valid and they're true. But you know what Jesus says to you this morning? My blood that I shed for you on the cross makes those things not the defining moments of your life anymore. You can use those things to set other people free. One of the pastors this weekend said, I realized something, that Jesus, when he got hung on the cross, we haven't seen it as gruesome as it really was, but it literally says that he hung on the cross and you couldn't even recognize him as a human man anymore. He was just a battered piece of meat on the cross. But you know, when he came out of the tomb on the third day, he had no scars on him. He had the holes in his hands as a reminder to us of what he did, but he wasn't beaten to a pulp anymore. He came out as a completely healed person, a risen Jesus. And he's saying to us, you know, you've been beat down, you've been scarred, you've got all these defining moments in your life and all these hurts that you carry around that want to cause you to be orphaned, want to cause you to feel rejected, want to cause you to say, well, they don't understand me and they don't understand me. That's why I'm never going to really get it. They're never really going to get me. You know what? We get to walk out of the grave unscarred too. If Jesus did, then we do too. Isn't that awesome? Come on, so will you stand with me? Feel like we're at camp all over again. Jesus, we thank you for your cross. We thank you that not only did you die, not only did you let yourself get beat to a pulp because you loved us that much and you wanted our healing, but 3 days later you rose from the grave unscarred to show us what it looks like to live in you. And we want to be that kind of a family. We want this generation to be that kind of a family where we're not getting together just based on common events that have happened to us in our life and common experiences, but we're getting together because we have one thing in common, and that's the most important thing, and that's Jesus. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our redeemer. We have a father who loves us unconditionally, and he was our father even before we had our earthly fathers and mothers. And so in this moment, Father, as we rest in your presence, I just invite all of us to take those things that we think define us and say, I'm not going to let this have power to define me anymore. The only voice that has power to define me from now on is the voice of my Father who created me. I'm not going to value myself based on what other people have said about me anymore. I'm not going to value my life or my experiences based on what's happened, but I'm going to take it from the perspective of my Father who designed my life, who gave me a destiny for my life above all of those things. And so, God, if there's anybody in this room today that just needs that healing, that needs to say, once and for all, I just need to walk away from these things, not to pretend that they never happened, but I need to walk away because I can't let those things define me anymore. I have to let King Jesus define me because his blood truly is more powerful than any of those things. So today, Father, in your presence, any of us struggling with that spirit of rejection, any of us struggling with that fear of man and what people think of us all the time, any of us struggling with our identity and trying to relate to people based off of our experiences instead of about who you are in our lives, we just break all those things off because we know we just need to learn how to operate as family in your kingdom. And this is your family. And we've all got different experiences and we're all different people, but we all have the most important thing in common, and that's Jesus. So we receive it from you, Jesus. We step out in faith. You know what I love about this, you guys, is we get to take everything that we got downloaded this last week and just spread it to you. You didn't even have to pay the $350 and spend 5 days sleeping in a dark, damp tent in a musty-smelling sleeping bag. You just get to get downloaded today free of charge. So that's pretty cool. And so, Holy Spirit, would you just download everything? It's so hard to describe in an hour, but everything that you are, would you just download to us? Would you bring it to our hearts? Would there be true repentance? Would there be true healing? Would we see ourselves not as beaten up, broken people anymore, but as whole people, because Jesus, you came out of that grave whole and you fully intend for us to be whole, well-functioning people who know what family is, who know what love is, who know who our Father is. So I speak healing in Jesus' name. I speak restoration in Jesus' name. I speak new identities in Jesus' name, that people, the way that people have viewed themselves for years and years and years, would be broken in this moment in your presence, and they'd view themselves as the true son and daughter that they are, as the kings and the priests that my wife talked about that they are, that they're not broken, used up goods anymore. There's no back row seating in the kingdom of God. Everybody's on the front row. Everyone's worthy. Everyone's worth it because Jesus made us worthy. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. You guys want to sing and then we'll wrap it up.
You are good, Lord. You are good. Good. Oh, oh. You are good. Good. Oh, oh. You are good over my life. Good over my life. You are good over my life. Good on my work week. Good. good over my work week, over my worst days, over my worst days, Jesus, because you are good. Oh, even when I don't feel like it, good, oh, because you are good, good, oh.
You're so good, Father. You've always treated us better than we deserve, but that's no excuse. You gave it anyway. You love, you love, you love, and you forgive, and you forgive, and you continue to pour out your grace and your favor on our lives. And so I pray that not only would this generation that has just testified of your goodness and your grace and your healing power and your restoration, not only would this generation be a generation marked by your true identity and your wholeness and your freedom, but would we as the church, as your beautiful bride, walk in that identity? Would we not let the enemy, who is our accuser, continue to get us to believe things about us that's not true anymore? Whenever he wants to put us on the stand or get us into the courtroom and say, you're this, 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 and this, all we have to do is say, you know what? Yeah, I used to be, but this God who loves me more than I'll ever understand sent his son to die so that I didn't have to stay there. So yeah, there is a punishment for who I've been, but Jesus already took it, so you can take it up with him. God, whenever we're feeling weak, whenever we're feeling worthless, whenever we're feeling like we're just not who you say that we are, will we just remember this? You are good, you are Father. And whether we feel it or not, who you say that we are, that's who we really are. So would you empower us, Holy Spirit, to walk in your truth, walk in your grace, walk in your identity, and walk in your wholeness this week and for the rest of the weeks of the year? I bless these people. I thank you for everything that you are doing, everything you did at camp, and everything that you're going to continue to do to build and build a build upon what you've started. We bless your name, King Jesus. We thank you that you are our Savior. You're our champion. There's never going to be another greater than you, because there doesn't need to be. So we thank you for your healing. We receive it in faith today. The word, we receive it in faith today. And I just prophetically proclaim that there will be wholeness, health, and healing over every family represented here in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys this week. Enjoy the sun. Thank you for being here. I hope you got encouraged. I hope you got blessed. We'll see you next time.